Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is the producer himself. Yes, he is wearing gel this day. His name is Pat Hamilton.
Yo, yo.
Hello, hello. Our friend and yours, Stephen Kalaszewski.
Howdy.
Howdy, man.
Gel-less.
That's 2 days in a row, man.
Started getting up earlier, bro.
Gotta get on that run. We're excited. We have so much to share with you in the extra hour. We're going to hear Nagmed's testimony. She's sharing about her husband, Saeed Abedini, who's one year in an Iranian prison. For what? Believing in Jesus. You know, guys, in our walk with God, we can walk with the Lord and have our relationship. And so many times that relationship involves us to, you know, we're God-centered, we're focused on the Lord, we're meditating on the scriptures and thinking about God's goodness, that sometimes we don't think about the enemy's plans and strategies that he likes to wage against those that love Jesus, those that are believers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't become enemy-centered, you become Christ-centered.
Right.
However, you do get some lumps that you, oh yeah, there is an enemy. There is an enemy.
Mm-hmm. You get wounded.
And yeah, you get hit here and there. But you know that the enemy has plans. He has plans and he's formulating strategies. He's formulating weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
To come against you. And the Bible instructs us not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. And to be foolish for us to forget for one moment that if you're advancing the kingdom of God, the devil will try to do every single thing possible to oppose you in that advancement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it's all about. He wants to oppose you and stop you. And it's a spiritual battle, and he has created and formed weaponry just against you, mm-hmm. believe it or not. There's a scripture in Isaiah 54:17 that many people quote, but it says that no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. When you think about the word forge, it's an interesting word,
mm-hmm.
because it involves, you know, creating, making, but it also involves forming by heating and hammering and beating into shape. You know, you're forging something. You're creating something, and it's weaponry. It's something that's created with a concentrated effort. And believe it or not, the enemy is creating, formulating, designing weaponry to attack you in your walk, to attack you and to slow you down in forward advancement. Well, some may say, well, I don't feel no attacks. Well, maybe you're not advancing the kingdom. You know, if you're advancing the kingdom, you don't attack those that are not moving forward, right? You attack the guy who has the ball or the girl who has the ball. You get that person, right?
Yeah.
But believe it or not, at some point in your walk, you're going to get attacked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because it's just what the enemy does. And the scripture is true that, listen, greater is he that's in you, that's in me, than he that's in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if God be for you, who can be against you? Yes, the blood of Jesus is powerful, a defense and an offense. And the scripture we just said that no weapon forged against you, will prevail. Mm-hmm. This is true, but there is a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, prevailing means that eventually we'll win, we'll prevail. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you're not going to get hit by one. Doesn't mean that one's not going to come against you. It means that ultimately, at the end, this weaponry will not prevail, will win. And we just cannot be naive in terms of what or who the devil will try to use to come against you.
Yeah.
And basically anyone who surrenders their mouth to the enemy can be used at any time. I mean, listen, he said every tongue that, and you'll be able to refute every tongue that accuses you, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how many folks can be used of and by the enemy. I mean, when you think about Peter, I mean, Peter was a disciple that walked with Jesus. I mean, hello, in the flesh, was with Jesus, around Jesus, learned from Jesus, ministered with Jesus. He was with Jesus all the time. And in Matthew 16:23, this is Jesus' direct words to Peter when Peter suggested that he not go to Jerusalem. I mean, Peter thought that he was doing the right thing. Peter thought that he was
doing Jesus a favor.
Jesus a favor.
Yeah.
Helping him out.
I mean, that alone should help us out with, I mean, humility and offering opinions. And it's like, oh, you got an opinion? I mean, listen, here's a clue. In times of great stress, in times of you need the Lord, you need prayer, it's just time sometimes that we just hold our opinions and just pray about a situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't see it that maybe that is a form of pride, always kind of introducing an opinion or a strategy. But we need to hold back sometimes and just pray.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not the time to offer an opinion because you want to know that your opinion is something that maybe God is putting on you know, in your heart. Maybe it's not just an opinion. Maybe God's giving you a direction to share.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't want to say the first thing that comes to your mind in an attempt to try to fix something.
Yeah, especially when it's not asked for.
Oh,
you think about it.
Oh, wait a minute.
Because Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say I am?"
That's right.
And then by the unction of the Holy Spirit, then Peter gave his answer.
Right.
Well, the second time around, Peter just thought he knew something, and so he was just going to give it his opinion.
I know something.
Totally out of his head.
I've been hanging with Jesus, you know what I'm saying? This stuff is rubbing off.
Right.
And you can't be out of your head. This is what Jesus said. He said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, "Get behind me, Peter."
That's right.
He said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." Another version says, "You are a trap."
Hmm.
You do not have in mind the things of God, but instead, my word there, the things of men. I mean, Peter, for that split second was used. And that split second of him verbalized something that wasn't asked of him because he thought he had a good idea was absolutely used. Now, I want to encourage you, in times like that, that's a dangerous thing because, I mean, in one version, she says, "You almost tempted me."
Yeah.
Not to do the will of the Father. You almost tempted me.
Think about that.
It's huge.
This is Jesus.
Jesus
said, "You almost tempted me." Almost.
Think about that.
Which means there was a possibility.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. What? you could have altered it. But this is how powerful that is, because how many people don't realize that by giving an opinion or just saying something or just opening their mouth, that they could literally alter the direction of what God is wanting to do because they've been taken captive.
Mm-hmm. That's a scary thought.
Very scary. One scripture in the Bible says that they've been taken captive to do the enemy's will. And listen, Peter was walking with God. You can imagine those that are not walking with God, I mean, they're just open any moment to just be used.
Mm-hmm.
And what you don't want to be, you want to be aware that, listen, the enemy will use anyone that has an open door. Knowing that, having a consciousness, having an awareness of that, you want to be sure that you are not just speaking off the top of your head, off of your mind, but that when you do speak and you do share, that you're listening for what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was great wisdom, Pat. Wait to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or ask, "Do you mind if I share?"
Right.
You know, and if they do, obviously respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter just stepped on out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about weaponry. We're talking about plans of the enemy of the devil, schemes and strategies to stop forward advancement in the kingdom. Think about that. The enemy knows how to try our humanity and use it against us so that we're carnally minded instead of being what? Heavenly minded, godly minded. Mm-hmm. He'll use it.
That's right.
He'll use it if you surrender it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and words are powerful. You're loosing things, right? The power of life and death is in the tongue.
That's right.
And if you don't have a regulator over that, your mouth, your words. One of the scriptures say, keep watch over the door of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Keep watch. Implying like put a security guard out front. You know what I'm saying? Don't let nothing out. Don't let nothing out. Peter was attacked in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
No telling what else he was thinking about. And what he thought was best. Once Jesus said that, he was like,
"Oh, yeah." He was probably too embarrassed to open his mouth. Like, yeah,
I don't want to say no more. I had some other plans, but this one got shot down. And the thing we've been talking here in the last few days on VFN Radio about offense and about John Bevere's book, The Bait of Satan, and then just think about, you know, then again, what would happen if Peter would have got offended by those words?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes when you're moving in pride, you're blinded to the reality of how the enemy can use you. And then if you're corrected or called out like he was called out on that, like, listen, you know, if we're paraphrasing, he's saying, dude, what are you doing? This is like the greatest trial right here, you know, for such a time as this. And you're what?
Mm.
You're leaking all kinds of stuff. Like, shh.
Mm.
Shh. Don't say nothing. I'm not saying nothing. I'm praying. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
Careful when you're giving opinions and people are just praying about situations, but you're giving opinions about situations. People are praying about it because they're trying to get the heart of God. They're trying to listen for wisdom and direction and guidance and not for the opinions of men, because men have opinions now.
Mm, yeah.
Men have opinions.
All day long.
But what you want to hear is God's voice. You want to hear his direction. And you don't want to be one that is part of Satan's strategy and plan to hinder, oppose, stop, or literally take out what God's trying to do. Peter was totally attacked. Totally attacked. And Jesus clearly told him, in English, you have the things of man, not the things of God on your mind.
Mm.
And the things of man are always about self, pride, self-preservation, kingdom preservation, how is this going to look, fear of man, has nothing to do with God. And if all that's filtering through someone's mind is all of those things, it's all going to be about man-centered and not, you can't think with pure motives, you can't think with heavenly perspective, you can't think with what's, you know, what is God trying to do if you're not even bringing up God, if your mind is not set on the things of God, but if your mind is set on the carnal nature, then that's what you're going to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm, right.
Listen, this is not an hour for good ideas. This is not an hour for that. This is an hour for God direction, not good ideas.
Right.
Because good ideas that are not God's ideas is a bad idea.
Exactly.
And you need God's perspective. God's perspective. And it's important for us to have the bigger picture. And oftentimes we can be used because you have such a narrow understanding of what's happening. You're focusing on a small glimpse of the bigger picture. But there's a big thing that God's trying to do. It's always big. And he may want us to be a part of it, and he may not. That's okay, because, you know, he's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. And Ephesians 6 tells us, he says, finally, brothers, verse 10, be strong in the Lord. It's really important, not strong in our flesh or in our mind or in our intellect, but be strong in the Lord. People are always trying to build up their strength. In fact, Proverbs 18 talks about, you know, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Oftentimes, people that are wealthy, and we can define wealth here for a minute. We're not talking about, you know, Bill Gates wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really wealthy? The wealth of the rich is a fortified city. It's like a fortified city. They imagine it unscalable walls. What that means is that their wealth, they depend on it as a form of security, as a form of defense. God's not looking for our wealth to be a place of security to protect us. He's looking for, to him, you know, he's our fortified city. Right. And the wealth is not Bill Gates. It's like any person living in America.
Mm-hmm.
The poorest person in America is richer than 95% of the rest of the country, of the world.
Yeah.
The poorest person in America lives in more square footage than the average European. Not the poorest European, but the average European. So you can imagine what the poorest person in America, the living conditions they have over the rest of the third world.
Yeah.
We're wealthy, but we can't trust. We can't be strong in our wealth, strong in our intellect, strong in our abilities. Our strength as believers must only be in the Lord. So he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And the verse goes on to say, put on the full army of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You got to be clothed.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be clothed and ready for battle. Just put on your armor,
right,
so that you can stand.
Mm-hmm.
Many people are not able to stand because they don't. They act like the enemy's not real. They act like he doesn't have any plans,
mm-hmm,
and that you're not in a spiritual war. It's like, hello, there's a war going on here.
Exactly.
There's a war going on for the hearts and the souls of men. And God's called us to be overcomers, but you can't overcome what you refuse to acknowledge is happening in the spiritual realm every day. The devil hates you. He is your enemy. He's not your friend.
That's right.
And the Bible says that we can stand against his schemes. Schemes is a systematic plan. This is how you define a scheme. A systematic plan of action. Secret, devious plans, a chart or a diagram. Maybe you've never thought about it this way, but maybe the devil has a systematic plan, a chart,
mm-hmm,
to take you out.
Mm.
Maybe you've reviewed times in your life where you realize, wow, man, this, even from birth, it was a strategy to take me out. I mean, 50 plus about a million children are not here today.
That's right.
Maybe things happen in your childhood or things happen later as an adult, or you look at, you know, bad situations that just happened. You realize, man, what happened there? What happened in my life? And, man, we should have died there, and I should have died there. I remember myself one time, we got rear-ended by this tractor trailer, and I happened to be sleeping as a young child. Maybe I was a preteen or something like that. I don't remember. My parents were coming back from Coney Island, some, you know, outing we did as a family over the summer. And that was in the days that people didn't wear seatbelts and just kind of piled in. And I'm sleeping in the back of a hatchback car. I don't know if you remember those as Datsuns.
They had
a hatchback. And I'm sleeping back there as a preteen and just passed out. And we're at a red light, maybe like 20 minutes away from home. We've been traveled all over New York City now. We're just about home.
Mm-hmm.
And a tractor trailer comes and hits the back of that car where I'm sleeping in now.
Mm.
And it literally hits the car. My dad actually saw him. He said later, he kind of just hit the gas a little bit. You know, he was, mm-hmm, able to just propel because he saw the guy was not going to stop.
Right.
And he hit us, and we almost went into the oncoming traffic. My dad was able to steer it into the median. And praise God, let me tell you something. It's an absolute miracle that I didn't die that day. It is an absolute, mm-hmm, miracle. My brand new Reeboks, I remember, were pinched in the back of the car. Couldn't get my Reeboks out. At minimum, I should have no legs. All the glass from the back of the hatchback. A hatchback is a car that, instead of having like a trunk, it's a glass trunk, if you will. I don't know how.
Yeah, most trunks, it's the back glass of the vehicle.
Yeah,
it's the trunk and the back glass, basically. Yeah.
Well, that whole glass came shattering on top of me.
Mm, right.
The whole glass. I didn't have a single broken bone. I didn't have any stitches that I can recall or anything like that.
Wow.
And it's an absolute miracle that I didn't die.
Mm.
And you think back and you say, was that a scheme? Was that a plan? Was that something that you know, could have happened to take me out? And
mm-hmm,
there's so many situations like that that maybe people can say, but listen, if you're not aware, those are ones that we know. What about the ones that God has supernaturally protected us from? What are the spiritual ones that we have faced where you've been taken out, been set up, if you will, and used by people? And people don't even know that they're being used. They don't even know that they're being used to take you out. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. There's a plan, a systematic plan. Mm-hmm. And that verse continues to say is this, that for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities, against principalities. I mean, listen, it's a spiritual battle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a spiritual battle. It's not an individual. It's not a person. But the enemy is working behind the scenes to steal, to kill, and destroy. In verse 13, it says, put on the full armor of God. And listen to this. So that when, not if, so that when the day of evil comes.
Mm. Wow.
You may be able to stand your ground.
Wow.
That's good.
I mean, you think about it, it's like you're saying, like the devil forges, or it's just no weapon forged against me. And it's just like you think about that strategic design, and it's just like you can picture, it's just like the devil and the demons with him or whatever, like they're strategizing. They've got a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D to go through all to take you out. And it's just like, and it's just that encouragement of just knowing the fact that he that's in us is greater than he that's in the world, because God sees all that. And he's, you know, the devil does not have something on God.
Yeah.
God's already one step ahead, and he sees all that. And it's just, that's why it's encouraging, because he says, I know the plans I have for you.
Yeah.
And I've come to bless you and restore you from those moments that the locusts have devoured. And it's that encouragement of just like, our strength is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone.
Yeah. You know, and the caution for young believers is that, you know, full of zeal and life, you got to have some wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know, the devil is an ancient foe. He's been at this for a while.
Yeah.
He doesn't have, you know, he has a lot of old tricks, but you don't combat him with zeal. You know, you don't combat him with haste. I heard someone say that you kind of come against the enemy like an electrician deals with electricity. You don't, you're in control of the electricity.
You're cautious.
But you're cautious of it. Mm-hmm. You're aware of it. And there's people walking around, believers, like there is no
just oblivious.
Yeah, oblivious. Like there is no spiritual warfare at all. And the truth is that just being aware of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was having this conversation thing with you, Pat, the other day, that, you know, things in right now, and you think about what's happening in the country and the world, things are so fragile. Things mm-hmm. are so, you really just need to pray. You need to pray, and God is moving on the scene, and there's wonderful things happening. But there is a people that are living like there are no consequences to anything.
Right.
Like, listen, it's a time to walk humbly and low, and to understand that, listen, the enemy prowls like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour.
That's right.
And if you're not connected, if you're not part of a fellowship, if you're a lone ranger, if you will, you're going to be taken out.
That's right.
You're going to be taken out. So he says, listen, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and there's a day that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You may be able to stand your ground. You understand that if you're a believer in God, God has given you a ground. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and he's your Lord and Savior, you have a ground.
Mm-hmm.
You have a ground in your family.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a ground in your business. Maybe you have a ground in your ministry. Maybe you have a ground in your community. God has given you a place. You have a ground, a territory, where you've staked a flag for the kingdom of God, if you will, and you got to stand your ground.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't give in. You can't fall asleep, because he who comes to steal, kill, and destroy comes to take that piece of ground.
That's right.
He's coming to take that place. So don't wimp out or give in. Because the Bible says that after you've done everything, stand. You got to stand to the end. And I'm encouraged, and we can still be encouraged, that no weapon forged against us will prevail, but just with the wisdom of understanding that there is a weaponry that is forged, it allows us to walk humbly.
Mm.
Listen, the safest place that you could be is walking in humility and in the fear of the Lord. I mean, if you have anything to pray for yourself, ask for those two things all the time. Those are my two biggest every requests. Day. Listen, don't pray for those two things for me. You know, don't waste your time praying for nothing else. That's what I tell folks. Because it's the safest place to be. Mm-hmm. It's the safest place to be. You know, and of course, the will of God.
Yeah.
Because God's doing some amazing things. And I'm telling you that there is a great awakening coming. There is revival coming. Listen, it's going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times. And you want to be in the game. There's nothing like not being ready to play the game, not be in on the front lines. God's doing a fresh thing. And greater is he that's in you. But you have to know. You have to know and you have to be aware that there is a weaponry and a plan and a strategy. And if you stay close to God and you abide with him daily, God will reveal these things. And none of these arrows will fall straight to the ground. They'll have zero effect on you because you're standing strong and you're plugged in to God because you're abiding every single day. You don't have a simple plan. You can request one for free. Go to iabide.org. Get your plan today and stay connected with the Lord.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
There's an old song that goes, I did it my way. I faced it all and stood tall and I did it my way. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and while I won't be singing for you today, here's licensed clinical psychologist and mom of four, Debbie Cherry, who has some advice for moms who take those lyrics to heart.
It is mainly that we care so much we want to see it done. That we are passionate and driven and just have this idea that feeding our kids this meal and giving them a bath on this night and doing everything this way is going to make them the best adults someday that they can be. We really do believe that. There is also a component of that, though, that we have to be honest with ourselves and say that there is some pride tied to that. An idea that says, my way is the right way, and that's just prideful, and that's wrong. My way is not the only way or the right way all the time.
Hear more today from Debbie Cherry about relationships at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Now I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you're running after things, and man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this onto this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation. So, my friend, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want mm-hmm. something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And, of course, we're getting feedback from all of a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and
Africa. I mean, it's all mm-hmm. around the world. In America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. Thank you, Steve. Joining me back for the break is Pat, the producer.
In the house.
And Steve. We're talking about, before the break, weaponry. That's right. If you're a Christian, forged against you by who? The enemy. Mm. To steal, kill, and destroy. And listen, you're seeing some weaponry that has just been forged against brothers and sisters, and you can't walk around like you don't know something that's happening.
Yeah.
And it's so important because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you think about it, that this forging requires a hammering, a making, a creating. And, he, you know, think of a blacksmith who's beating on something. It's a systematic plan. It's a systematic plan designed to take you out, to stop what God is moving forward in the kingdom.
Yeah, that's powerful, John. You know, that's exactly what I was seeing while you were, when you were talking about being forged. You know, it's not this. A lot of times we look at the enemy's attacks as if it's, okay, now this big, huge thing has just happened to us. We just got taken out. But we missed the small steps that it took to get us to that point.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're talking about, it's the beating. You know, when you mm-hmm. when you go to forge a sword, you know, it's this big clump of metal that you began to heat up. Then you began to beat. You cool it down.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You know, you heat it back up. You know, so you're going through this big, huge process that is turns into, you know, which reminded me of that song, a slow fade. You know, mm-hmm. we're missing this process because we're waiting for this big, huge thing to happen. But all the while, slowly,
you know, like the frog in the pot exactly. being boiled.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking for the knockout blow, and he's taking you out blow by blow.
That's right. Little by little.
Right. The word says that you read earlier is that, you know, it's the armor, that the shield of faith that puts out the fiery darts of the enemy. Mm-hmm. It's plural. It's darts. It's more than one. It's not just a big, huge dart, you know, that takes you out. It's several, you know, mm-hmm. One right after the other.
That's right.
You know, and then one of the other things that really stuck out was, you know, once you've put on the full armor of God, then you stand.
Yeah.
You be still and know that I am God. Once uh-huh. you've done all that you can do, you stand and then see what God is going to do. That's all we can ever do, is just do what we can do and trust God with the results.
That's right. And it's so powerful what you're saying, because the other aspect with that, along with that, I'm hearing you say that, is you got to have some wisdom. You got to mm-hmm. have some practical wisdom, and you don't go and you don't pick a fight with the enemy mm-hmm. and you don't put yourself in a place where you're a lone ranger. That's why the importance of family and having real relationships in your life that will help you and come alongside of you. A cord of three strands is not easily broken, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bible says, pity the one who falls and has no one to pick him up.
That's right.
And if you're out there doing your own thing, listen, you're just prime target to be picked off.
Mm-hmm.
You're just a prime target to be picked off. Mm-hmm. And part of being together in fellowship and mm-hmm. walking together in our journey with God is to develop transparency relationships where we can bear each other's burdens, fulfill the law of Christ, where we can talk to each other and share.
This reminds me of what Nicole said the other day. Remember, she said she heard that message about, you know, Paul having a Timothy.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And she realized that she didn't have a Paul in her life. Mm-hmm. You know, she needed that discipleship, and she needed, you know, somebody speaking to her life to give her that wisdom. Mm-hmm. And
like a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, someone that
she sought one out.
Yeah. And that's important because we all need somebody. You need somebody.
Yeah, there's no lone rangers in the kingdom of God.
Mm-mm. No man's
You're just
an
a target.
Island.
It says iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know, we need that person with us that's going to challenge us
and say, "Knock it off!"
Mm. Right?
Knock it off and stop doing foolish things. It's making you susceptible for an attack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there is some wisdom that you can take, knowing the fact that you can be attacked, causes you to walk a little bit more alert and cautiously,
and humbler.
Oh, much humbler. But additionally with that, you can have someone in your life to help you to say, I don't think it's a good idea to be walking in a landmine without any armor. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's a good idea to walk in a landmine alone. I don't maybe think, you know, and at least wisdom in that regard. And also to pray for you.
You know, I think about, it's like as we're talking about the fact that, you know, the devil knows our weaknesses. And just like what Chris is saying, it's just like it's those small attacks that lead to that that end movement of just, or that end attack of taking you down. And in James 1, he talks about that. It's just like those trials and temptations that lead up to it. In James 1, verse 13, he says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed." You know, the devil knows our weaknesses. He knows those little areas where he can exploit those, and it leads up because it's that strategy, it's that scheme that he's forging against us. And it continues on in verse 15. He says, "Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." And it's all of a sudden, it's like you find yourself in that moment when that sin has just consumed you. You're just like, how did I get here? Yeah. When did this happen? And it was like all those little steps, all those little temptations, those enticing sins that you didn't think meant anything, but the devil was just going through his checklist, getting you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said earlier that he knows your weaknesses. He also knows the things that you refuse to give up. Mm-hmm. He also knows those deliberate sins. You know, people act like the enemy doesn't have a realm of authority. He does have a realm of authority. Mm-hmm. He does.
Yeah.
It's called darkness. If you go into his neighborhood, darkness.
You go in his hood.
You go in his hood, you're going to have to deal with him. Mm-hmm. And so how do you avoid that? Stay out of his hood. Stay out of his darkness. Mm. You know, cool. Stay out of his hood. And you don't have no business going in there, you know, unless you're going to rescue those in darkness. But you don't have to be, you know, wallowing in the darkness to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And wisdom. There's wisdom in multitude of counsel here, multitude of friends. There's wisdom in all of that. And you can be victorious and you can stand. You can stand. And no weapon will prevail. It won't prevail. Because greater is he that's in you that's in the world. But if you step outside of the covering of God and you want to be the Lone Ranger and you don't stay low, you know, we've been saying here lately, stay low so you don't have to get low. Just stay low. Stay low. Help you. Listen, if you have brothers, they'll help you stay low. They'll just tell you, get low. You're high right now. You're high.
Come on down.
If you got brothers and sisters, you know, they'll tell you, come, you know, get down. You're high right now. Mm-hmm. You're high. When things can stand up, you're a target. Mm-hmm. You're a target. If you stay low and stay dependent upon the Lord, you'll be able to stand that ground for the kingdom. You'll be able to stand that ground for the Lord. And that the kingdom of God will not only have a foothold, will have a place, but it'll continue to advance because you didn't succumb to the attacks of the enemy. In fact, the enemy is running from you.
That's right.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch. A torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners, We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is great. It is great to be in the Emerald Coast. My goodness, I didn't know how beautiful this sun is out here, Chris. Yeah. I mean, have you been enjoying this all this time? Oh, my goodness. Pat?
Yeah, I love it. I got a chance to soak in a little bit the other day.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I got to see that bronze look on you. I don't know about that.
Now, you got some bronze going on over there.
I'm looking at you here, brother. I'm happy to report that I don't see any Saints shirts. I don't see nothing this morning. And I want to just give a hallelujah for that, okay? I just want to let you know. But you got the tan working for you. I'm telling you, it's nothing like beautiful blue skies, mm-hmm. palm trees. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. This is beautiful. I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying being in the Emerald Coast. You know, I knew that I was getting near to Pat's home. I'm coming in 11 o'clock at night, and I knew I was getting close when couldn't see nothing now. It was pitch black. couldn't see nothing. But I was getting this whiff, this aroma that was coming from the plane.
Hold on now. Clarify that.
That paper mill, I don't know what's going on, man, but I knew I was dead on the spot. I mean, X marks the spot.
Dude, you didn't know that was the glory of God coming
down. That's the glory?
That's the glory, man. That's the glory cloud.
Don't put that smell on the glory, all right? Don't put that smell on the glory. But my goodness, it is so, so, so good. Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos. And joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And my goodness, we're talking about, listen, be wise when dealing with the enemy and know that he is against you. But rest assured that if God be for you,
who can be against you?
Who can be against you?
Right.
Just get on God's side. That's if you're on God's side, you're going to be on the right side.
Mm.
You're going to be on the right side.
That's right.
You know, we want to give you an update as we come to the end of the extra hour. And we want to share with you about Pastor Saeed Abedini. You know, he's been arrested in Iran for being a Christian. He's an American Iranian. He's an American. He's a citizen. And he went to Iran and he's working with an orphanage. And his wife is sharing on his anniversary of... him being there one year wow. already. Mm. And we've been praying and you've been joining with us for his release. Mm. And she continues to share this trial in their life and how she's been making through and what she's been able to do to help him to be free. One of the things she says, listen, you know, I have surrendered myself to, yes, you know, I'm praying for his deliverance, but if it doesn't, you know, it's basically, it's all good in God. And let me tell you something, that's a healthy place to be.
Yeah.
That is a very healthy place to be, to understand that the timings, the events, things that happen to us are all Father filtered, and ultimately He's in control. it's senseless to try to beat yourself over things that you know you can't control or change or do. And she's finding great peace in trusting the Lord. I want you to listen to this interview as she shares. This is a mother now of children. She just missed her husband, gave him a quick goodbye, guys, a quick goodbye and a kiss, and said, I'll see you in a couple weeks, not knowing that her husband would be arrested and she wouldn't see him for over a year. Listen up.
1 year ago, Nagmeh Abedini said goodbye to her husband, Saeed, as he set off on a trip. She never dreamed that 12 months later, she'd be in the middle of a fight for his freedom and his life. Recently, I spoke with Nagmeh about her battle with the government of Iran on CBN 700 Club. But first, here's a look at what she and her family have been through in the past year. Nagmeh Abedini is living a nightmare. Last July, her husband, American pastor Saeed Abedini, was in Iran to help establish an orphanage when he was arrested by Iranian authorities. Then, in January, he was sentenced to 8 years in Iran's infamous Evin prison. His crime? Preaching the gospel. Saeed has endured physical and psychological abuse and has been denied medical treatment. Nagmeh says at times, the strain over the past 12 months has seemed unbearable for her and her two young children. The American Center for Law and Justice has been fighting for Saeed's freedom. Nagmeh believes that through prayer, it will be God, not the government, who will free her husband. Tell us the latest on your husband. Has anybody seen him, and how is he holding up?
Mm-hmm. His family gets to see him every week, so they saw him this week, and he was doing okay. He's still, he's had some beatings, and so he still has issues with his internal bleeding. He's much better, but there's still pains, and we're still hoping to get him treated. Still needs medical attention.
Well, Iran has a new president, President Rouhani. Is this good news at all for your husband, or will it factor in at all?
You know, he at the same day he was elected, there was a Christian sentence to a few years in prison. I above Rouhani is the supreme leader, Khamenei, who really controls everything. And his mindset, his policy towards Christianity has always been the same, that they see it as a national threat, security to their national, threat to their national security. And I don't see much of a change. I hope they try to present, try to bring more freedom for the Christians and really Saeed,
but right now, you don't think it'll make much of a difference?
I don't think it's going to make much of a difference.
Mm. Nagmeh, you were born in Iran to Muslim parents, grew up Muslim. How did you become a Christian?
God's grace. I was always seeking him. I grew up when I was very young in Iran, and there was a war, and there was bombs, and people were dying around me. There was a war with Iran and Iraq, and I always, that made me think about who is God, where is he? And I tried to find him through Islam and as at the young age, 8 or 9. And when I came to the States, my brother had a vision of Christ, and he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And my...
And you were young, right?
We were, yeah, we were 8 or 9. Mm. And my, and Jesus said, you know, and he felt such a strong love. And he, when he saw that vision, he came to me and he told me, and he was a changed person. And so...
So you got saved based on your brother's dream about Jesus.
But it was so, we're twins, so we're so close. Mm. So I just saw, he was so shaken. And so I accepted Christ at that age.
Talk about childlike faith.
Yeah, and it's been, you know, it's been an amazing journey.
Nagmeh, what was he doing, exactly what was he doing when he was arrested last summer?
He was working on an orphanage that a government approved. He was working with the government to start. We'd started on the orphanage since 2009, and the kids and I had gone back with him in 2011 and stayed for a few months hoping the orphanage would be open.
He was there under government approval.
Yes, they had approved it. He was working with them.
Yeah. Now, you have two young children. How are they coping? I know they must be missing their dad terribly.
Oh, it's been hard. I've recently I shared a video on my Facebook that shows Jacob crying, saying, "Jesus, I love you. Bring Daddy home." Mm. And he's just in tears. And they sent out balloons and messages to Jesus, saying, "Bring him home." And you know, like childlike faith, they prayed, and then they wake up, and they sometimes they wake up. They had a dream, and they look around and. And they say, is daddy home yet? And I say, no, we just got to wait. I try to speak to them from the Bible about patience. And
but you believe he will come home.
I do. I've had to, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I've had to say, I believe God's going to deliver. But even if he doesn't, he's still a good God. And I've had to really lay it at the altar. I've learned to not control situations or push God for a certain outcome, and just to let go and say, God, you know, you are a good God. You've been so gracious and kind to us during this time. And whatever the outcome, I do hope he's going to come home, but whatever the outcome, God's still God. And
you have been so strong for your kids, but you've just been strong in general. You've been on every TV show. You've been in front of Congress. You've been to the UN, working tirelessly to educate people and to let them know what's happening to your husband. How do you do that? Where do you get the strength?
From Christ. I was a crumbling mess, and I found a connection to the vine. And the Bible says, you know, when we find that connection, the fruit comes. And I have to say, one of the highlights, it's been a year since I physically held my husband and said goodbye. We said on June 22nd of 2012, I said a quick goodbye. I said, see you in a few weeks, you know, never thinking. But I look at the year, speaking before the UN, I got to share about Christ. I got to say, Christ, Said is in prison because he believes Jesus Christ died for the sin of humanity. And whoever believes in him can be reconciled to God. I got to say that in front of 196 countries. And as I was speaking, had he earpieces, and it was being translated in their language. And they got to hear. I know the Lord has given me strength to fight for my husband, but also he's given me a platform to share his gospel where the UN might have never had this straightforward message about the gospel. And you know, they were talking about peace and bringing world peace. And I got to share that this is the only way. And in the end of the message, I said, and this is the God of peace you're all looking for. And so it's been amazing to the platform God has given me to fight for my husband, but also really to share the gospel, which is what this world needs. Mm. Our world is getting darker and darker.
Mm. Wow.
Nagme, you are a...
Wow, what an amazing interview. This is Nagmed Abedini. This is Pastor Saeed's wife, who was interviewed on CBN, and she's sharing about the trial over the last year. I mean, her family's gone through it. Her children have gone through it. And you can imagine that her husband is sitting in prison, Steve, for preaching the gospel.
Mm. Wow.
For preaching the gospel. And how many other persecuted Christians are being treated like that? This just happened in Iran. And remember, Youssef, Pastor Youssef was there for 3 years, and they finally released him. It seems as soon as they released a Pastor Youssef, it's like immediately they wanted to have someone else in there, and got Pastor Abedini, who was actually working with the government to establish an orphanage. And he was sentenced to eight years in Evan prison. And we talked about, if you miss this on VFN Radio, the two women that were arrested for sharing the gospel. You've got to listen to their testimony. Two women in Iran give out 20,000 Bibles. And they were sentenced in Evin prison. And in fact, she says, one of the ladies says that the worst day, her worst day in prison was the day that she didn't feel the presence of the Lord for the first time since she was in prison. Not the day that they got beat or hit or lack of food or boredom, but she didn't feel the presence of God. My goodness. You know, I don't know. I don't consider myself worthy of being in the same presence of the Christians that have suffered so much for the cause of Christ. And oftentimes we look at trials and things that we go through and we think, oh my goodness, why am I going through this? Or why am I going through this situation? And this is not nice. And this doesn't feel good to my flesh. But yet, look at what's happening as a result of Pastor Saeed being in prison.
All right. Yeah.
I mean,
well, I think what's very encouraging is that her perspective about the whole situation, and just like how you were sharing before we started, is that she was saying the fact that, you know, if even I'm praying, and even if he doesn't come home, I know that's better for God. And she had said that she went before the UN, and she was able to say that my husband is in prison right now because he believes Jesus Christ came to save all of humanity, and he is the God of peace. And to have that perspective that this is her husband, this is the father of her children that is being imprisoned, going through physical and emotional
hardship, but she is encouraged the fact that she was able to share the gospel to 193 countries and to have that perspective. And it's just, I mean, that like you're saying, that's that position that we need to be in, that this is God. God's
in control.
Yeah.
Attitude makes all the difference in the world. Because let me tell you something. Somebody else in that situation, you always have a choice to get bitter or better.
Mm-hmm.
And this could have been a different interview of someone complaining and looking at personal struggles. I mean, this is raising children. You need a couple of parents. She's been doing all the mothering and the fathering for last year.
Right.
No telling what has happened to their finances and their living conditions.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
And yet, you know, it has to have been a struggle. But someone that has a God consciousness and awareness that God is in control is looking to see how this situation in my life can be redeemed for God's glory.
Mm.
But when we're self-centered and we're looking at our struggle, we become bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a totally different interview. This is what you're looking at, going through a trial with grace. Because without it, she could have been complaining about what she had to endure, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
She could have even, believe it or not, attempted to complain to God and say, God, why would you allow this to happen? My husband is doing your will.
Yeah.
I mean, all the countless things that could have been said,
That's right.
Which are not good things to be said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a testimony, and she could really encourage us and teach us that no matter what trial you're facing today, her husband's in prison.
That's right.
But no matter what trial you're facing today, to understand that, listen, God is in control. As she said, listen, I'm believing for my husband to be delivered and to be set free. But the truth is that if he doesn't get set free, God is still God, and God is still good.
That's right.
And no matter what you're facing today, no matter what trial it is, listen, release it to the Lord. Release it to the Lord and look for the redeeming quality in what is happening. We want to encourage you to continue to pray for Pastor Saeed. Continue to pray that the gospel will continue to be preached around the world and all throughout Evan Prison, and that God will use what is happening. God will use what is happening, every bit of suffering, every bit of struggle, every bit of pain, that God will use it as an awesome sacrifice for the advancement of his kingdom and the sharing of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.